Good morning, everybody.
Good
morning. Welcome to worship, fourth Sunday in Advent. Oh, thank goodness. Four more sleeps till Christmas. Yes, really. As my niece said to me yesterday, you can do this. But if you participate in the tradition of lighting a candle, we think about the angel this morning and God's unconditional love, the ultimate love that God sent his only son for each one of us. And as we eagerly await the new kingdom of God on earth, wouldn't it be great if Jesus returned today? I wouldn't have to do my Christmas shopping tomorrow. Be awesome. But as we continue to approach Christmas, our love for him, I pray, will increasingly grow. So this morning, we're going to remember our position and our responsibility as children of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the whole meaning of Christmas can be explained in one small four-letter word, love. You sent your gift of pure love to us that first Christmas. Love descended from heaven to be born of a virgin. Love lay in the itchy hay of a manger in a meager barn in Bethlehem. All of your love, God, was rolled into the delicate skin of a baby and wrapped in swaddling cloth. This final week of Advent, help us to reflect on the magnitude of love that was made manifest in Jesus. Amen. And so let's welcome in again into our lives as we sing 102, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Let's come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, your word became flesh and you made your dwelling among us when Jesus was born. You set aside all the glory and splendor of heaven and chose the most humble way to enter into your kingdom. Beneath the stars, surrounded by all the hosts of heaven, love came. Welcomed by an earthly mother and father, shepherds and wise men, love came. You came as an innocent baby whose purpose was to walk this earth in complete love and then to sacrificially give your life as an atonement for the sins of your children. Emmanuel, God with us, love in the form of a man. That was your plan from beginning to end. You knew every minute of Jesus' life. You knew that the cross of Calvary was waiting for him. Yet you still sent your only son so that our sin debt could be paid and we could walk blameless because of the shed blood of Jesus. There is no greater gift nor love than this, that a person should lay down their life for their friends. You willingly gave the gift of your life because of your love. Your righteous blood covered our sin. You save us and restore us when we confess you as Lord and Saviour of our life. At that moment, you give us the gift of your love for all eternity. We receive grace upon grace and mercy upon mercy in that moment. The greatest gift of all came that first Christmas. It wasn't wrapped in a beautiful package and set under a decorated tree. The greatest gift ever came wrapped in the flesh of baby Jesus and laid in the rough wood of a manger. Our perfect gift would be unwrapped and rewrapped in the scars of our sin and nailed to a cross. All because of love. Father God, this final week of Advent, fill our hearts and minds with the significance of that truth. Thank you, Lord, for loving us enough to send Jesus. And we pray our prayers in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. During our Advent studies, when we were going through the words associated with Christmas, the 21st of November, it's 21st today, isn't it? Of November, we did love. And I said, we can't think about Advent and Christmas without reflecting on love. The love of Christmas is a multi-layered concept that's rooted in both religious and secular themes, centered, as we've just prayed, on the birth of Jesus Christ as an act of divine love. But because of his divine love, we then express it to our family and our friends and through selfless giving. We know that it involves the celebration of God's love for humanity through Jesus, and it includes the love that we have as family and friends. Now, we've talked about our Christmas traditions before. Each family does different things, doesn't it? Hello? Yes. Just checking. It was a lackluster amen, so I'm just checking that you are still alive. Oh, yes, you are. Good. So as we come to our next carol, which I talked about when we did love, it's the first, as this morning I noticed, of our Christina Rossetti double bill, because she actually wrote poems that form part of two popular hymn stroke carols that we sing usually this time of year, In the Bleak Midwinter, which you will notice, for those of you who have checked, is coming up after this one, and Love Came Down at Christmas. And as I say, she wrote these words as a poem. And we've adapted it, and it's been adapted over years, set to various tunes by various composers. First published in 1885. Now, I know that most of you weren't alive then. It's called, in her book, Time Flies, A Reading Diary. I quite fancy reading that. Time Flies, A Reading Diary. And it was later included in the Oxford Hymn Book. And as I say, we have various composers, Harold Dark, John Rutter, to name but a few. But its language is so simple. And its central theme is love. Love came down at Christmas, God incarnate, descending to earth. Explains God's divine love. And as we come to sing it this morning, we're not going to sing it to the traditional dirgy tune that I can't stand. Sorry to the creator of Hermitage. We are going to sing it to the tune Garten, which was the tune I actually shared with those of you that were at Bible study, and you said you liked it, so serves you right. So Joe is going to play it through one verse just to get you in the mood. Wasn't that lovely? And the words, aren't they? I don't know if you were concentrating more on just getting the tune right or actually looking at what you were singing. But when we did it back in November, we just took that last line, love for plea and gift and sign. And so as we come to our readings, I'm spoiling you, we have two readings this morning. We're going to continue through John chapter 1. Which you can find on 1063, headed up, The Word Became Flesh. And I won't burden you with the next reading until we get there. So we're starting this morning at verse 9. First page of John, The Word Became Flesh, verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. And if you want to keep your finger in that page and then turn to 1031, which is Luke chapter 4. 1031, Luke 4, starting at verse 14. Jesus rejected at Nazareth. And so we read that after Jesus is tested in the wilderness, if you remember, just before he started his ministry to the people, Jesus, from verse 14, returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself,' and you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown." And if we turn, carry on to verse 28. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. And so we're going to explore both of those a bit later. But to learn what God's unconditional love means to us. And our next carol sums up what God wants from us. The second of our Christina Rossetti double bill. In the Bleak Midwinter, number 337.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us in the waiting, the watching, the hoping, the longing, the sorrow, the sighing, the rejoicing. Speak to us by your word in these Advent days, and walk with us until the day of your coming. Amen. And gives us the right to become children of God. I have resisted until now my little Christmas joke that I tell you every year. But if you take the Christ out of Christmas, you are left with... Well done for those who have listened for the last 9 Christmases. If you take the Christ out of Christmas, you are left with M and S. Told that one to my niece last week. She'd never heard it before, so she's taken it to bless her church as well. But this is what's happening, isn't it? Have you noticed? Have you noticed?
Yes.
You will talk to me. If I'm going to keep going, so are you. Happy holidays. Season's greetings. Happy winter solstice. Well, in fact, it is today, but... You know, go home, check your cards, see what they say.
Winter wishes.
Winter wishes. Ooh, anyone else?
Festive
wishes, yeah. That's all encompassing, isn't it? Yeah. You know where the door is, Tony. Please use it. Actually, in fairness, I saw little mini eggs at the end of the Christmas row. So Easter's coming. Now, people will argue that happy holidays, holiday is from an old English word meaning holy day. So potentially we could get away with that, do you think? Season's greetings or festive wishes covers all faith celebrations, so we don't upset anybody. Winter solstice as a pagan festival. Yule, and as I say, that's today going into tomorrow, marking the return of the sun, hallelujah, S-U-N, that is, by the way, with traditions like Yule logs and tree decorations. So, okay, so we Christians borrowed it when we chose to celebrate Christmas in December. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Tesco are in big trouble. Anyone heard?
No.
Oh, where have you lot all been? For goodness sake. It's for the evergreen trees. Well done, Yvonne. Chocolate for you. Can't nick any off the tree, there aren't any. Yes, they're even being boycotted because people have misconceived that Tesco are not celebrating Christmas. No longer can you buy a Christmas cake, but you can buy an iced fruitcake. No longer can you buy a Christmas tree, but you can buy a luxury evergreen tree. What do you make of that? The fact that you've not noticed, actually, you should be ashamed of yourselves. But it's all over the media, it's everywhere. Now, everywhere that you haven't been, obviously. But keep your eyes open, because Christmas is subliminally being taken away. We're taking the Christ out of Christmas so that we don't upset anybody. Now, as I said to you a few weeks ago, I'm going to be really offensive this Advent, more so than usual. And I have been joyfully proclaiming Merry Christmas and Happy Christmas to anyone and everyone throughout Advent. I was out on Friday, and instead of just saying thank you, I'd say thank you, Happy Christmas. Now, I haven't actually been banned from anywhere yet. So I would say keep being offensive for Christmas. But, you know, in the fact that it is subliminally being taken over by secular rubbish, Have we too rejected the true meaning of Christmas without realizing? When we read those two passages this morning, he came to his own, but his own received him not. Jesus was rejected at Nazareth. And so as we take those lines, he came to his own, the true light that sheds a revealing light on everyone, came into the world that he had made, as we read in verse 10. That includes us. If you believe you are created by God, it includes our community, whether they believe they were created by God or not. Our towns, the world was made through him and for him. Verse 3 in John says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. When Jesus came into the world, he came to his own. He came to what belonged to him by right of creation. As I always say, the message, he moved into his own neighborhood. And yet we read in verse 11, his own received him not. We could say that today, really, couldn't we? Jesus moved into Hazelmere, to High Wycombe, to our birth towns, but his own received him not. They rejected him in the shops with season's greetings and happy holidays instead of happy Christmas. They rejected him in the eateries with happy holidays instead of happy
Christmas.
Be offensive. Come on, guys. I'm encouraging you. It's not often I let you loose. They rejected him with secular nativities, unicorns and spacemen, woke depictions and insipid words. They rejected him with the commercialism and consumerism, outright exploitation of his holy day. John expands the point in chapter 3, saying, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest their works should be exposed. And so they did not receive the light. It's depressing, isn't it? But I'm going to cheer you up. But to all who received him, but... I love it when there's a but. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. I love it when I do this passage, because the Bible I use, I do write on now. I do highlight things. I draw things that I've seen. And one of the things that's been there in red pen, receive and believe equals become. Because that's what we get in that verse, isn't it? Verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Receive and believe equals become. I love a sum, and I love that verse. Because the consequences to those who reject the light means that they are not the children of God. God is not everybody's father. He created everybody, and they are. But Jesus says in, John said, start again. Jesus, too many J's. It's getting near Christmas. Jesus said in John, if God were your father, you would love me. So the test of who your father is whether you love his son. So the question is then, not everyone is a child of God. Am I? These verses are so critical to our faith because they tell us how we may become children of God. So are you? Ask yourself, am I? The difference it makes to us, as Jesus said, again in John. John had a lot longer to think about his gospel. And we get two trulies again. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The sin does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And Paul reiterates our adoption and our inheritance in Romans 8. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we might also be glorified with him. In the resurrection, everything that exists will be ours, and God will love and care for us forever, and we will love being in his presence. But if you don't become a child of God, then there will only be judgment. Do you remember? Do you understand how you became a child of God? Can we lead another person into God's family? And so we read in verse 12 those two conditions, receiving Jesus and believing in Jesus. Receiving Jesus means that when Jesus offers himself to us, we welcome him into our lives 100%. We welcome him as our Saviour, as our Lord, and as our King. As we read in Luke 4, Jesus preached in Nazareth. The people received him gladly. It says when we got to verse 22 that all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Yet a few verses later, verse 28, they were furious and they tried to throw him off a cliff. Now those of us who were in the Holy Land know just how high that cliff was. They were happy to receive him while their words were pleasing, but when their pride was identified, they rejected him. We must receive him 100% and believe in his name. It's present tense, believe. We don't just do it once, we continue to do it for everything in our lives. What does believing in the name of Jesus mean? John again is great at explaining this. John 3:18 tells us that believing in the name of Jesus is virtually the same as believing in Jesus. He says there is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. The name simply highlights the full stature and dignity and authority of the person Jesus. And then we get those wonderful words in John chapter 6. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. This verse teaches us that believing in Jesus means being satisfied with Jesus. And how, as we see throughout the towns and places that we go, how the world craves satisfaction. Not in stuff, not in the wrong things, but in Jesus. Only Jesus is the food, the word that feeds the hunger of our soul. And I could go through John and give you many more verses. So your homework throughout the following weeks is to read John. But all these texts show us that believing is a deep work in our heart. Not a mere agreement with doctrinal facts. It includes breaking free from the craving for human praise, and it includes being satisfied with Jesus as the bread of life. While I was thinking about these verses, because the great thing when you have a passage to go through over weeks is you can keep thinking about it. And a friend of mine sent something through social media, and I don't know who wrote it, but I'm going to quote it. It says, I believe in God, not because somebody raised me to, not because a church told me to, but because I've actually felt him show up in my life. I've seen his hands in things I can't explain, and nothing is ever going to shake that for me. It's amazing, isn't it? Can we say that? And as we think about what Jesus does in our own lives, perhaps that's where we can start shining. I've been encouraging you to shine throughout Advent. Michael and I had a little laugh as we went out to the cupboard, didn't we, Michael? Because I was so shiny that Michael could see me. Told him I was going to tell you. Don't try and outshine me. I am more shiny than you. Because I am. But we do have, don't we, those two things if we are to inherit the eternal life as the children of God. The need to be reborn and the authority and the right. We need to have spiritual life. This is what God does according to verse 13, without any help from us. It says, not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. We are born of God by a free act of his sovereign grace. God chooses us because we choose him. But when God does that, the spiritual life is present, but so is sin and a whole back catalogue of sin. God chose us before we choose him. In this condition, we'd have no right to take our place in the house of God, no authority, no empowerment. God not only provided the renewal by which we are born again, but also the authorization by which we can lay claim to our inheritance as children, even though we are sinners. And that's where Jesus comes in. Because the moment that we believe in Jesus, the moment we receive him for who he really is, in that moment he gives us not only new birth, but the right and authority as a sinner to claim our inheritance as a child of God, because we were born of God. Because God so loved us, he did two things. We see the Trinity in action. He sent his Spirit to cause us to be born again and to make us pass, as I've said before, from death to life. And in perfect harmony with the work of his Spirit, God sent his Son to die for our sin and remove the guilt of all for all who believe in him. This is the true meaning of Christmas. This is the joy. This is what the true light does. This is the great salvation for sinners like us, a gift which is full and free and corresponds to our need and condition. So I pray this morning, if you haven't already, by God's amazing grace, receive and believe equals become. Become children of God. Believe in him as the all-satisfying end of your search for peace. And if you have received and believed and become, ask yourself again, am I? And can I lead another person into the Father's family? We too must shine as lights in our community, not just glow, shine. Share the good news, share what God has done and is doing in our lives. We're not being viciously persecuted in our country, but our apathy does more damage in hindering the advancement of the message. So be more shiny. Speak up, you children of God. Amen. Let's pray. God of glory, your splendor shines from a manger in Bethlehem, where the light of the world is humbly born. I'm going to start that again. God of glory, your splendor shines from a manger in Bethlehem, where the light of the world is humbly born into the darkness of human night. Open our eyes to Christ's presence in the shadow of our world, so that we, like him, may become beacons of your justice and defenders of all for whom there is no room. Light of life, you came in flesh. born in the human pain and joy, and give us power and authority to be your children. Grant us faith, O Christ, to see your presence among us, so that all creation may sing new songs of gladness and walk in the way of peace. Amen. Let's join together and sing of that amazing grace, a free gift to each one of us, number 31. Bright shining as the sun. There you go. That's your... Let's pray. We bless you, Abba Father, for you visited your people in one like us in all things but sin. And in human frailty, you have revealed the face of divinity. Gather into your arms all the peoples of the world so that in your embrace we may find blessing, peace, and the fullness of our inheritance as your daughters and sons. Amen.